Welcome to this Stream Globe Word Encounter Sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at streamglobe.org or devotional.ng. You can also contact us via telephone by calling +234 803 442 0524 or +234 813 822 4547. The Bible says that the entrance of God's word gives light and understanding to the simple. Let us pray that, Lord, let your word come to me. Let your word, not Pastor Abraham's word, not Bro Yemi's word, let your word come to me today. Let your word come to me today. It gives understanding. It gives understanding. One of the secrets of prosperity, one of the keys to prosperity is understanding. And the entrance of God's word, it gives understanding. I want us to pray that, Lord, let your word come to me. And let me live a wise and understanding life. From this moment, let your word come to me. And let understanding be my portion. Please pray that prayer, because God is hearing you and God will do it. God is hearing you and he will do it. Say, Lord, let your word come to me. And let it quicken understanding. In the name of Jesus, let your word come to me. And let it quicken understanding. Let it quicken wisdom. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let your word come to me. And let it quicken understanding. Let it quicken wisdom. Let it quicken insight. In the name of Jesus. Leko patamane sona in kabai. Lazo teke panomba anta kabai. Aso teke pana asone in kapale. Leso toba leko teke po teke po sobale. Mane in kapa anteke ene sona. Ananko pana tobane kene. Leso bane in kapane. Let your word come to me today. And quicken understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, Lord, let your word break every yoke. Let your word bring me into the liberty of the sons of God. The Bible says he sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So I want us to begin to pray, Lord, today, let your word do something that is irrevocable, irreversible, something great. Let your word destroy every yoke, every affliction, every foundational problem, every family limitation. Let your word go to the root of every problem in my life. In the name of Jesus. Mazoka pateke po suninga dai. Mashagala baba baba de 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 Enkapa solole leke pane ampateka asota asota. Let your word. Masoke teke po suma leke teba des. Please make sure you are praying. In thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. One more prayer. We are going to pray that, Lord, today, give me understanding. Give me understanding. You see, the Bible says there is a spirit in man, and it is the breath of the Almighty, or it is the inspiration of the Almighty that giveth him understanding. I want us to pray, Lord, today, give me understanding. There is a way a man that has on. He say, in all thy getting, get understanding. Understanding is like an operating system that you come into, that you will be able to unravel life. Life will be Life will be under control. You will no longer be controlled by circumstances. Say, Lord, give me understanding that I may live. Give me understanding. Let me understand. The Lord will make you to understand the secrets of things. There is a reason why the sun shines the way it shines. There is a reason why the moon moves around the planet the way it does. There's a reason why the oceans have their boundaries. There is a reason why God created you. There's a reason why God put you in that family. When that understanding comes, you will no longer quarrel with God that why did you create me in Nigeria? Because you will understand the reason, the peculiar reason, and that how it is a function of the love and mercy of God. Give me understanding, Lord. Lesote manen kapatobales, lesona nen kapasobole ketekete bolis, If your eyes are open, you will see that angels are already here. Don't take this gathering for granted. The thing with spiritual things is that it is the way you take it that the Spirit of God will take you. Jacob was on a field in Bethel. And in that place, there was strong angelic traffic. So much was happening in the spirit realm, but he didn't know. And he fell asleep. Incidentally, that place he was, his grandfather, Abraham, had built an altar there. And you know what that altar did? That altar was like a portal. That was what occasioned the angelic presence, the angelic traffic. Whenever you go to your neighborhood and you see a demonic altar, that one is not a gate of heaven, it's a gate of hell. Do you understand? Because what Abraham did, what he understood, where you know that everywhere Abraham went, we would build an altar. When Jacob got to that place, his father had built an altar there. His grandfather, that was Abraham. When the Lord opened his eyes to see what was going on in the invisible realm, he actually saw that there was an angelic traffic. And the Bible says angels were ascending and descending. Because Abraham was a worshiper of God and he built an altar unto Almighty God, there was angelic traffic. And remember, you cannot build an altar without sacrifice. Now, if that altar, there's one altar in that our neighborhood, that place where the roads meet. What did those people do there? And you know, when Jacob was in that place, that Bethel, he said, this is the gate of heaven. Right? He said, this is the gate of heaven. He said, the Lord was here and I didn't know it. And he said, this is the gate of heaven. What those demon worshippers do, idol worshippers do, when they build altars all over the place, is that they are trying to create gates, portals for hell. Whereas this one was like, it was like a ladder, and angels were ascending and descending. Those demonic altars in your neighborhood are actually portals, and demons are descending and ascending. So before you legitimize the operation of angelic beings, whether they are clean angels of light, holy angels, or demonic beings, you must understand the principle of priesthood and building of altars. In the New Testament, how do we build altars? We are supposed to be altars, living altars. The Bible says we should offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Whereas in the Old Testament, the way you demonstrated service to God was that you sacrificed a ram and all of that. And it was a product of your sweat. In the New Covenant, you don't just make sacrifices of your resources. Amen. You give your life. God is now your Lord. He rules your life. And when you do that, like Jesus Christ told, I think it was Nathaniel, he says, your eyes will be open and you will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Amen? Okay. Some of you are looking at me as if... Because I just want you to know that if your life is an altar, there will be an angelic traffic around you. So some of you are looking at me as if I'm speaking Hausa. So let us look for that scripture, because our Lord Jesus was the one that said so. So when your life, John chapter 1 verse 51, I didn't prepare to talk on this, I didn't plan to talk on this, but that was what the Holy Spirit just opened up. When your life becomes a sacrifice, receive thus living sacrifice, I am your worship. Yes, are you in John chapter 1 verse 51? Someone read it out for us. And he said unto him, yes, yes. And the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus Christ gave Nathanael a prophecy. And Nathanael said that he was so moved.
And they say, whoa, you are the Messiah. Just say, eh? He said, because I just told you something that happened. He said, don't worry. He said, verily, you will see the angels, the heavens open. And angels ascending and descending upon who? Do you notice that it is that same language of ascending and descending, not descending and ascending? That was the same thing that happened in Bethel. When Jacob's eyes were open, when he slept and he dreamt, what did he see? He saw angels ascending and descending. Why? That place was where Abraham had built an altar. You can do the. I told you I didn't plan to teach on this. Abraham had passed through that place, and at some point he built an altar there. And that was what occasioned that angelic traffic. And now we see our Lord Jesus saying that the angels of God will ascend and descend upon him. What am I saying here? You know, Jesus Christ said, as the Father has sent me, so have I sent you. The same thing is supposed to be your portion. Some of you may be asking that, when did that happen? Of course it happened, because Jesus said it was going to happen. It wasn't recorded, because there are most of the things that happened during Jesus' ministry was not recorded. It was John that told us that if they wanted to start recording all the details, we won't have enough books. Because these things were not just physical things that they could perceive. They were invisible spiritual things that some of them could also perceive through the prophetic eye. Amen? Now, if you live your life for Jesus, now remember, you cannot build an altar without sacrifice. Not in the demonic realm, not in the kingdom of God. Nowhere. If your life is going to be an altar where angels will be ascending and descending, it means that you would have come into the, you must have graduated from the economy of just receiving things from God, and you have entered into the economy of living for God, of sacrifice, whereby you offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. When that happens, whether you know it or not, whether you are aware of it or not, you will just discover that you will go to a place and angels are following you. The angels of God are descending and ascending upon you. Let me tell you what that means. It means that you live, you know, some people move to a house and they have, the person that built the house is a wicked person. And he has said, anybody that lives inside this house, so and so affliction will happen to him. If you mistakenly sleep in that house, if care is not taken, that thing that he may have used human being to do that sacrifice, that thing we condemn. Amen. I remember shaking one man, and he was wearing ring. You know, there are people, you know, it's not every ring that you see people wearing that is ordinary. There are some rings that when they come and shake you with, they want to manipulate you. After you shake their hand like that, anything that they say, you will do. And after I shook this man, I just knew that ring he was wearing was a demonic ring. And I pitied him, because I knew that at that time, that was some years ago, I was running some filling stations, and the man wanted me to do some things for him. So he wanted to control me. And these are very diabolic people. At that point, I just pitied him. I said, hey, yeah, the ring that I used over 350,000 naira to go and buy has just condemned. Amen? I said, it has just condemned. Because what will happen is that when their ring is active, they know. They will be feeling, sometimes they say they feel the pulse of the ring. But when there are some of you that when they shake with that kind of ring, because of the angelic traffic around you, the ring will condemn. Because it's demons that are making that ring work. And what happens when angels come into a territory? They expel the demons in that territory. I don't know about you, but I want to be an altar unto Almighty God. That if God wants to preserve, if a plane was supposed to crash, and God, somebody has prayer, and God does not want the plane to crash, the shortest cut is to orchestrate that you will enter that plane. And the angels of God will say, even if we have to carry this plane, and it will run on nothing, but we are carrying it, that plane will not crash because my son is in that plane. You can enter into that place where there is an in. You know that you are not alone. Some things have happened in my life where I know, I say, I just know it's an angel that did it. Supernatural things. Is it from waking you up in the sleep where somebody woke you up literally and you are the only one in that room because it is time to pray? And you can enter into that economy. Amen? Hey, or you are stranded and then somebody, except that when you now recollect the kind of help, you say, no, this is not ordinary. This person is not a human being. Oh, I hope you know that the angelic is not supposed to be scarce for us as Christians. Yes. By the time you begin to really walk with God and live a life of sacrifice, angelic activity will no longer be strange. If angelic activity is strange to you as a believer, it's because you have not entered into the economy of sacrifice. Amen. I can tell you the things that I know that God did in my life through the ministry of angels. Some of them are supernatural. Some of them, I say, this one, it cannot just be ordinary. Do you remember when they were praying for Peter? The believers were praying for Peter. We are going to pray before we sit down. Some of you, I intentionally kept you standing. They were praying for Peter. And Peter was released miraculously by the ministry of, how was Peter released? It was an angel that God sent. And then Peter came out of the prison cell. And he went to the house and knocked on the door. And Rhoda, one of the servants that opened the door, and saw Peter. Instead of her to open the door for him to enter, she was so excited, she ran and went to tell the people that were praying that, Peter is at the door, Peter is at the door. What did they say? They said, it must be his what? His angel. Because those people, the angelic ministry was not strange to them. I don't know, maybe they had been praying like that and they had seen people and then they will now realize that it's not the person. Then they will now say, but I saw you. They say, I don't know, I did. But we saw you. Then they now realize that no, it was his angel that they saw. Amen? Hey. What I'm saying is that as you begin to live that life of sacrifice, when you will just realize that you are not alone. I want us to pray. Say, Lord, help me to offer my body as a living sacrifice. I want to be a living altar. I want to be a mobile altar of Yahweh. I want to be an altar unto the Most High God. Lord, help me. Zoteke pasoma nenga pateleles. Lega baba baba lede posobo nenga pasobales. Mata kapale kales onte banai. Lesoko patle somanan kapai antobai lesoteka antopatana alesoko pasele ente posona kana aso teketene lesono kata. Help me live that life of sacrifice that pleases you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now say, Lord, open my eyes that I may see. Deliver me from every distraction that makes me not to offer my life as a sacrifice unto you. You see, there are some people, they say, I know I need to serve God, let's wait first. They've been saying, let's wait first, until they are 60, 70, and then they no longer have the power to serve the Lord. That is not your portion and my portion in Jesus' name. Say, Lord, deliver me from every distraction. Help me to see the kingdom of God clearly. Maloso teke patoba linke tebones. Andabalego lebo sobole ketekedes. Lesho teke panen katamai. Empalaleko teketes. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. We can sit down. So how do they establish demonic traffic? There is what Jacob, the patriarch Jacob. Let me use the language of Apostle Paul. Our father Jacob called the gate of heaven. And why did he call it the gate of heaven? It was because there was angelic traffic. There was an angelic traffic there. And what occasioned that angelic traffic? It was the potent sacrifices that his grandfather had made on that same plot of land. He didn't know about it. He was just traveling. But you know, when you are traveling to somewhere, there are paths that are normally followed when you are traveling. Amen? If you are traveling to Abuja now, you will most likely pass through Ondo State. Is that not so? Yes. There are paths. Abraham was coming from that place that he was traveling to. And the reason why he was in that place was because Abraham traveled from where he was coming to. Now, I can even show you from the scriptures the name of that place and when Abraham was in that place and when Abraham built an altar. But this is what the encounter, so I'll give you that assignment. He didn't know. And that altar was occasioned there because of the sacrifice of Abraham, a potent sacrifice. Whenever you go to, you see, maybe you are living in a compound and you notice that they always make sacrifices in that compound. Idol worshippers, the pagans. Maybe the landlord of that place is a pagan. And while he was building the house, before he made the foundation, he made a sacrifice. By the time he got to lintel level, he made another sacrifice there. But after he roofed, he made a sacrifice. You know what he was doing by making those sacrifices? He probably did not know. What he was doing was that he was creating a demonic portal there. Those sacrifices give those demons legitimacy. It becomes like a hot spot. Amen? So just like that place that Jacob saw, which Father Abraham had made sacrifices unto God, and he called it the gate of heaven. Some of you have gates of hell in your neighborhood. Because there is a piece of land where they are always making sacrifice. There is one piece of land that's behind where I used to live before. Directly behind. Somebody is currently building a house there. And they always used to make sacrifices on that. They used to make put sacrifices there. What the people that are putting sacrifices there are doing? Some of them don't even know what they are doing. They just give them instruction. Carry coconut. Carry this one. And go and put it there. Every Tuesday. Every month. Every year. And they do not realize, kill a ram, pour the blood there. They do not realize that what they are doing is that they are creating a portal to the underworld. And there are so many of them. Remember the Lord Jesus said that we build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Because when human beings now begin to make sacrifices over territories that they have legitimacy over, what they are doing is that they are giving demons legitimacy over that territory. Those are the demons that we call principalities. They have some kind of rights to operate. And the way you deal with those kind of demons is not just by shouting. The Bible says that our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And let me tell you something, if you are not a man of sacrifice, it takes an altar to remove an altar. Have you not seen that there are many Christians that go to a house? Let me tell you something, the house I was living in before. Me, I knew, bro, Mike is not here. He had seen the vision several times. He said, it was just a demonic portal. He said, there is something behind this house. He said, there is something here. And I know the attacks that I faced while I was living there, because just a few meters away from my window was that other plot of land where they used to make sacrifice. And even on our own plot, there was, you know that fence, that side. Each time that people that had eyes prayed, before I did something about it, they will see a door there. And they kept wondering, what is that door? What is that door? When I say people that have eyes, I mean people that can see visions. Amen? And may we all have eyes in the spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a demonic portal. And you cannot, if you are not you yourself, you are not a gate. Are you understanding? If you yourself, you are not an altar. You cannot handle an altar. There are many believers that their destinies have been marginalized by altars. And the reason why that is, they are believers, but their destinies are being marginalized. But that is, their destinies are being usurped. Somebody is about to enter a season of blessing, and then it's just taken away. It's just hindered by an altar. An altar gives demons legitimacy. Are you getting what I'm saying? And the reason why that happens to some believers is because they themselves have not entered into the economy of sacrifice, whereby they themselves are a sacrifice to the Lord and their lives is an altar. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because as the Lord Jesus said, the angels of God should be ascending and descending upon you. So on account of you, because I am here preaching, there will be an angelic presence that my being here will command. Just because I am here. I'm going to tell you something. Because I saw a vision just as I came in. It was about you. Because what I saw was that I saw that there were some angels of light. About two or three of them that were following you. And it looks to me like you are already beginning to enter into a place where you are now making sacrifices in your walk with God. Where you are now taking, you are now, you know what I mean. You are now making, and I would want to encourage you to continue. Because it has been recorded. And angels have been released. And very soon you will see the physical manifestations you will see amen. I'm talking to you, sir. Whereby you have an opportunity, for example, to make quick money, but you know the reason why you didn't make that quick money was because you knew. You said, no, this is not righteous. And I think I can even bear you witness. I don't remember what you, but I remember there was a time you called me and you asked me a question about something. I don't remember what it is again. It was something about pertaining to righteousness. Yes, I remember now. Where you were asking me about the illegal connection or something that they were doing in your compound. That you were now beginning to think in that way and you were saying, I will not fetch the water. Or I don't remember the scenario. Those are signs. That is the sacrifice we are talking about. Where you deprive yourself because of your walk with God. You don't know that you had an opportunity. Somebody sent you to buy something. And the person, you know there is no way the person can know. And the person thought it's 20,000. They said that you got there and discovered that it was 3,000. Then you now say, I will return 10,000. I will say it is 10,000. And this is, and you know, sometimes you can be working for some people and they are not gracious. That is, if you don't do like that, it's not as if even when you do like that, they will give you money. They are not paying you properly. They are not treating you properly. When you now do the righteous thing, it will be as if they don't appreciate you. So you're not like, what is the point? I will just do the thing that Nigerians do. Remember, I was talking about the culture. You know, there is a Nigerian culture. And God will change that culture in Jesus' name. Nigerian culture. It's only in Nigeria that if you're a public servant means that's maybe you're a commissioner or you are something. It means that you must be a billionaire. In other parts of the world, it is not so. Because the salary of a commissioner is not up to the salary of a professor. Are you aware? And in normal countries, a professor is only in corrupt countries that a commissioner will be richer than a professor. If you want to serve the government in most countries, it's service. You already have the honor, you know, you have an official car, official driver. Maybe if you are up there, if you are going around, they will clear the road for you. That is just what you will be enjoying, though. But that you have money, if you want to have money, you better go and write book. Amen? Yes. Go and write book or something. But you are not going to get money through your office. And if they catch you that you got money through your office, you are going to jail. That's how serious countries are. Well, in Nigeria, if you are a commissioner and you don't build houses in the village and all of that, your village people will stone you. But the question is, where are you supposed to get that money from? Amen? It's a cultural problem. And if that problem does, if God does not fix that problem, and that's why there are many believers that even though they pay tithe and they are very religious, altars, they will sleep in the village and they will carry cancer back to the city because of altars. Because they are not, in spite of the fact that they are believers, they are not living a life of sacrifice. Let me tell you something. If you need night vigil to survive, you are not living a life of sacrifice. Are you getting my point? If you need night vigil to survive, you are not living a life of sacrifice. By all means, have night vigils. I don't think, my own estimation, I don't think there's anybody here that does night vigil more than me. But I don't do night vigil because I am afraid of any demon. I do night vigil because I need to spend time with my Father in heaven. I need to know Him. So that when I come here to talk, I'm not talking nonsense. I'm talking from a depth of revelation. So that the words that we are saying, somebody was listening to us. This will look like bragging, but God sees my heart. You notice that I take this live streaming and recording very seriously. Because the kind of testimonies that we have received, just for people that are listening, you know, and they take these words very seriously, they are unbelievable. Unbelievable. How somebody will, I don't know whether it was Brother Yemi I was sharing with one young man. There was one of our sermons here that we preached, listened to, and he went for evangelism. He took that thing into practice and he opened the eye of the blind. He told me that testimony. Me, I was challenged. He called me about 2 weeks ago and told me about another one that happened again. He prayed for this boy is not up to 25 years old. 25, 22. He's a young boy. I mean, Now he almost has a church in Lagos here. He will soon come. He will come. You will see him. He's been wanting to come and visit me. I've been restrained. He just listens to this word. Amen. Yes. He listens to this word. For me right now, this work that I'm doing is a sacrifice. This is what the Lord says do. I was telling my wife the other yesterday, she was telling me about an invitation and all of that. I said, I don't even take invitations to minister. If you know anything about ministry, invitations are lucrative. If you know what I'm saying, the Lord will give you understanding. Yes. You cannot invite me to come and minister and you are a serious person. And when I'm going, you say, thank you, sir. God bless you. You are not serious. It wasn't God bless you that I used to, that carried me there. Do you understand what I'm saying? It costs money to come there. So I said there are a number of sermons that we must preach here and document. I do not know those sermons. But every sermon that we are preaching here is being recorded and is being broadcasted to thousands of people. Amen. Yes, for those of you that are on Stream Globe, you know what I'm talking about. It's been broadcasted, and those sermons are blessing people. One of the reasons why I do night vigil and I want to know God more is because this is the assignment that God has given me. And if I'm not faithful in knowing Him, there will be nothing, there will be no substance to transmit. So I said, if you need night vigil to survive, that is because you didn't do night vigil 2 nights ago. They came to press you. Or you had one dream and you saw naked women and all kinds of weird stuff is happening to you. It's because you have not entered into the economy of sacrifice. You are still living for yourself. You are still a user of God, not a servant of God. You know, there are many people that are users of God. God, give me breakthrough. That's what God is. They don't realize that it's now about living for God. They think God exists for them to meet their needs. And if you live like that, you are just one witch away from an affliction. Whereas witches should be the ones that will be afraid of you. Whereas witches should be the ones that should be afraid of you. You will now be the ones that will be afraid of witches. I was supposed to sleep in a house. I'm not going to say that testimony. Because I don't, for confidentiality. I still remember when I was in, was it from relevant? One of my mentors, Reverend Dan, he told me something I will never forget. I will never forget. I think I was about to travel or something, be in a public transport, and I became aware that there were a lot of witches in that community. And I was like, I don't want to sit down. I say, you go and sit down next to a witch now. You go and sit down next to a witch now. You don't know what they will do to you. Blah, 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 blah. You don't know if they will afflict you, labor, you know, all of that kind of nonsense. And he just told me something. I don't even remember the scenario, but here was what he said. He said, do you not realize that you are the most dangerous person in that car? You know, you think that a witch, somebody who has gone deep into darkness, is dangerous. He said, do you not realize that you are more, there is that person, you are the only one in that car that can afflict that person, who is a sorcerer. You are the only one in that car that can, are you understanding what I'm saying? You know, these things I'm saying may look too good to be true. I beg you, don't be like the children of Israel. God told them that they were going to inherit the promised land, but they did not believe. And you know what? They didn't inherit it. It was their children. The only two people that believed were Joshua and Caleb. They were the only ones that inherited the land. You know why? It sounded too good to be true. How will you say we like this, that we are like grasshoppers before the people? We will conquer them. They have the Anakim. Anakim are like super giants. And they fight wolf. We don't even... it sounded too good to be true. But one reason why, I was explaining here some time ago, that one reason why they didn't believe was because they were living a life of unbelief. Amen? When they were eating manna, they were complaining. And because of that economy of unbelief, when they now needed faith at the crucial time to fulfill their destinies, they couldn't find faith. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. The way by which you become such that the angels of God are ascending and descending upon your life is that you enter into the economy of sacrifice. You know what it means to crucify? Paul was saying that in Galatians. He says that it is no longer I that live. Is that Galatians? Yes. But Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live in the body, I live by the faithfulness or by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. You know what that means? It means that do you know what it means to die to yourself? The message of the cross. You know that before you became born again, and for many of us that are born again, we live for ourselves. We live to please ourselves. Why many people go to church is because God will do something that will please them. Right? Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm trying to explain to you the message of the cross. Because the Bible, Paul says that the cross is the power of God unto them that believe. In order for you to enter into an economy of real power, let me tell you something. If you have to be praying and fidgeting and jumping and doing fasting because of witches and demons, you are not powerful. Somebody say, they don't sleep at night. You too, you are sleeping. It shows that you people are in the same level. You have to do the same level of work. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But you can enter into the economy of power. And I'm not saying you should be spiritually lazy. If you like, don't pray. That's not what I'm saying. But what, are you getting? Okay, I will tell us a testimony. Shall I mention his name? I was sharing it with Broyemi and Rosam. Because so that you will know that this thing I'm saying, I'm not just talking. When I moved into, there was a witch in our neighborhood. Witch. And I know how that woman attacked me, both spiritually and physically. She was telling one of, it was this year, she moved, the way she moved out of that compound, she was practically driven out of that compound by the power of God. It was this year that one of our colleagues was telling me, she met him. This woman was so bad. Let me tell you how bad this woman was. There was one time I saw one of my neighbors crying and walking to the road very fast. I gave her a lift. I think I told you about it. And I said, why are you crying? That time I just moved to that house. You have not yet come. I don't know whether you have not yet come. She said that she had a misunderstanding with this woman. Her husband had just died in that compound. And the woman told her that I will send you to where we sent your husband. That was the first time I said, no, this kind of wickedness cannot continue in the compound where I'm living. This woman told somebody that was telling me that I was the one that drove out of that compound. I said, well, I don't think I was the one that drove her out of the compound. Because what just happened was that when I came, we started praying. And I wasn't the only one that was praying. But I was never afraid of her. Never. The first time I came, I didn't have buckets. It was her bucket that I was using to bath. I still remember when one of my brothers came and saw, he almost fainted. You know that brother. He was like, her bucket. I said, I don't have bucket. I've not bought bucket now. Amen? Nothing. Tell your neighbor, nothing. You can enter into an economy of sacrifice where the power of God is at work in your life. Paul said that the cross is the power of God unto them that believe.